Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We were covering breaking news about clarification coming from the White House, from the Department of Homeland Security, about deportations of illegal immigrants who are in the country, new rules reflecting the Trump administration's get-tough stance on unauthorized residents, which is an about-face from the Obama administration's catch-and-release policy. There's now going to be a hiring of 15,000 new individuals to help with the deportation in mass of people across the country. The White House continues to say this is only be targeting criminal aliens, but there is evidence on the ground that says that's not quite the full story. We'll continue the coverage of that. But now back to the story that we were originally planning to cover this afternoon, which is talking about the heart and soul of San Antonio, which some people call Poodle San Antonio. This evening, there will be a Poodle symposium looking at this loaded word that we have here that people use to describe something. They see something in San Antonio, an incident happening, and they'll say, hey, that's Poodle San Antonio. So what does that mean? What does it mean to you? Who do you think in San Antonio is Poodle San Antonio? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. With us to talk about that this afternoon is Dr. Antonio Petrov. He's an assistant professor at UTSA College of Architecture. And you've done all sorts of interesting, dynamic things that kind of very, you know, inspiring projects. And here's one more looking at what Poodle San Antonio means. Also with us is Marcos Hernandez, marketing specialist and founding partner of FPO Marketing. Marcos and Antonio, welcome to The Source. It's great
to
have you here.
Thank you for having us.
So let me ask you, what do you mean by Poodle San Antonio? Or Poodle, what are we talking about here? What is this whole thing about, Antonio?
I'm not sure what it means. I mean, I'm trying to find out what that means, and I want to know what that means to...
What brought it to your attention?
Just being in San Antonio, just being here, like, and seeing people, the way people interact with this idea of Puro kind of inspires me, not just like as a citizen, but also like as someone that thinks about the future of the city.
So something tells me that you're not from here. Right?
I am.
Where are you from?
You are absolutely right. I'm from Macedonia.
Okay. All right. So in your travels, you're detecting something, some unique vibration here. Yes?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's also a little bit my background. I have a degree and I have a PhD in architecture, urbanism, and cultural studies. So my sensitivity for culture kind of like brought me, like, you know, I detected Puro basically through that lens.
Okay. All right. And so, Marcos Hernandez, what are you seeing here? Get closer to the microphone and
sure,
talk.
Sure, sure. I guess throughout the years of being here, I've seen the city go from an aspirational context. And what I mean by that is what we always aspire to be, what you say, either Austin, New York, especially within my work in marketing, or we looked at outside in order to get our influences, whether it be pop culture or what have you. And now I'm seeing more of San Antonio being inspirational. And what I mean by that is San Antonians are having a global voice, and we're defining and articulating our voice now, whether it's anybody from Johnny Hernandez, who I just heard is in London, him opening up a restaurant in Nevada, or it's a band like Faa, which is taking something that's very San Antonian and making it theirs. I mean, to me, Puro San Antonio, as we go back to what you're calling a loaded word, is something that's authentic and real to the voice of San Antonio. And through my years here, I mean, I've only been out of San Antonio for brief help, but I've traveled all over the country and parts of Europe. I've seen more of a pride and contextually in who we are, which I guess we didn't have 10 or 15 years ago. And in the talk tonight, I kind of have an evolution of going from Rescuache, which is very lowbrow, to what I'm calling here Puro San Antonio, which is an inspirational perspective of outputting this great work, these people, everything about us, to me, has achieved a level. And I think we're in the golden ages, or the golden, entering these golden years, where San Antonio cannot be only influential in a national, but in an international level.
So the Poodle San Antonio, pure San Antonio. I mean, it's like, is it frequently you say that the smallest things that you see actually tell the big story, mm-hmm. you know, the little details that you see in your daily life, and that it's in, it tells you what it's all about. What is it? What are some of these things, these details of San Antonio that you think are Poodle San Antonio that need to, that reflect that?
The way we try to look at it is we try to see if, and I hate the word categorization, but we try to find ways of how we can understand it like more broadly. And we looked at it through like things like ritual, the arts, or like tastes or values, craftsmanships, aesthetics, and a certain sense of like authenticity to kind of understand what that means and without putting like a tag on something, because it means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And that's the beauty of it. The way we looked at it was kind of like Puro for us was like an entrance into the conversation about the city.
Right. But people say Barbacoa and Big Red, Puro San Antonio, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of things like that, you know, driving, cruising on Southwest Military Drive, or you know, getting caught at a red light on South Cross, you know, Poodle San Antonio, yep. you know, there's all sorts of things that you say this is it, you know, what really kind of defines experience and informs my sensibility. It's a double-edged sword, you know, not necessarily always a positive, not always a negative, but somehow it just is. I mean, is that what we're talking about, Marcus?
I guess it depends what perspective from what we're looking at it. I mean, as far as from a socialization, everyday perspective, Spurs is Poodle San Antonio for me. It's the way they carry themselves. It's the way we carry ourselves as San Antonians. And then from a marketing perspective, San Antonio is very unique in the sense that as you look at through the Census Bureau or what have you, we are what America is going to be 20 years from now. And that is who we are. And we're defining a lot of what the world, being the United States, is going to take place. It's going to take place here. And for me, Puro San Antonio is actually a pride in who we are as citizens, as opposed to keep San Antonio lame, which I think that was tongue-in-cheek in a way. And for Keep Austin Weird, now you're seeing shirts that I've seen out there, not necessarily saying that I agree with this, but I've seen shirts that say Keep Austin. I mean, pretty much where we're developing a sense of community and pride in who we are as San Antonians, which to me has only happened in the last 10 years.
Right. And Antonio, do you want to add to that?
I think yes. I mean, the way we are trying to kind of look at this is like, I'm really grateful, first of all, to have like an amazing panel tonight with speakers that can kind of like put some light on this in a way that, you know, we could never do that. But what we're trying to understand is like also how Puro becomes something physical and real. Like, how does it physically and actually shape the city? How do we experience it? And I think like you kind of talked more about like, you know, sitting on a, like catching a red light zone, you know, down there on Military Drive. But we're trying to see how does it actually manifest in something that's also betterment to the city. And also a certain sense of pride, like you say, like it contributes to a sense of identity to the city as it moves into a new era.
Now, you're talking, Marcus, about that there's been transformation in San Antonio, and from aspirational to inspirational. What do you think triggered that?
Honestly, money, investment in the city. Brain power. If we look at, let's just look at, for of all things, Geekdom, which is downtown, and it's a project that's funded by Mr. Graham Weston. And he is doing a cool a space where people could come in with technology. He's running, as far as I know, in a negative, but he's doing to invest in the city in order to inspire the city. In order for us or San Antonians to come up and create better new technologies or new ways of doing stuff. And what he's done is so beautiful. He's brought in people like Techstars, and Techstars is a global, it's a global program. So we're competing at a global level now, or an international level. And that's the way we got to see ourselves, is we shouldn't compete, as far as I'm concerned, in a regional level, or thinking that we're at a local level. The people and the talent that we have here should really aspire to compete in an international level. And the fact that we're so close to Latin America also makes it very unique in the common tissues that we have as people. I mean, we people from all parts of the city are San Antonians, and I think we've embraced that, and we've really been cohesive as a people to be puro San Antonio.
Right, but city has many challenges still. I mean, sure. Very much so. It's still overall a low-income city. It has a lot of issues of low education attainment, and a lot of red flags saying that there's still a lot of work to be done. So, you know, while there are some high points to look at, you say, you know, are we concerned about, as the city grows, that there's we have this huge gulf between those who are finding success and those who are still, it's still not even the dream is not even a dream for them anymore. You know, it's so how do we, is that part of Puerto San Antonio?
It certainly is also social equity. It is about it. I mean, I think it is a dialogue into the city. But I want to ask Marcos, like, do you see in Puro, like, the potential for the city to market itself through that lens? Is there potential for you? Do you see that?
Of course. And I guess
how would someone outside of San Antonio be able to figure out what that is?
Well, I think there's two different answers to that question. The first is the outside perspective looking in, and exactly what are we trying to say? And if we hark back to the 1970s, Lino Sosa, when he was at Yarding, did an incredible campaign that was called Nowhere Else But San Antonio. And they just took snapshots of San Antonio, and it was like Josephine Theater and things that are happening around. We're not a cookie-cutter city that has like mansions, and you drop me off anywhere in the city and I don't know what part of the city. We still have, at least for me, a very authentic feel and look and tone. So how do I market it outside of San Antonio? I think, to me, the biggest thing is San Antonio is unique and has a voice that is not the same as the rest of the country. And that's our unique selling proposition. Our people are very friendly. We have a history that's very, very rich. And we have a great amount of amusement and what have you around that part. And then the second part, as far as going back to your question about, we have all these ills in San Antonio. And I can't speak for everybody nor for all Hispanics, but growing up, I really didn't have people that I could look up to and say, hey, I could be that or I could achieve that. Today, we have the Castros. We have people like Johnny Hernandez, Vincent Valdez, Sandra Cisneros, that become beacons of hope in the sense of saying that, hey, if they could achieve it, I could achieve it. Growing up, I mean, the aspirations for me were just to graduate high school. And I think today, if you look at the statistics, we have the highest enrollment of Hispanics of all time. And UTSA, where Dr. Petrov is part of, has one of the highest rates of graduation. So there has been a shift there.
All right, so we're talking about Puro San Antonio this evening at the Brick at the Blue Star. There is a symposium, a lineup of panelists. We'll be talking about what does Puro San Antonio or Puro mean to them. Is it Puro San Antonio? Because am I making a leap there to say that?
It is actually, it is more about like Puro on the edge of the future. Like, as we are kind of like sitting on this edge of the future, we are looking at Puro as something that can help us define it.
Okay, all right. Well, we've got a half hour to figure that out when we come back from this break. Phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Who is Poodle San Antonio, what person do you think would, capsulize the embodiment of that concept? What do you think? What is a Poodle San Antonio experience for you and your family? Give us a call. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. What does Poodle San Antonio mean to you? There are layers of meanings, understandings, complexities, all packed into that phrase. Somehow you distill this essence of the local experience into what? What do we get? What is this thing that we call Poodle San Antonio? It pops up all the time now. Is it a brand, a slogan, or is it the secret handshake of our San Anto subconscious that really unites us all? We're talking about that this afternoon here. There is a symposium this evening at 6 p.m. at the Brick at the Blue Star, in which a lineup of interesting people will be talking about Poodle San Antonio, what it means to them in regards to food, art, culture, music, expression, literature, the way we live our lives here. And with us to talk about this afternoon is Dr. Antonio Petrov. He's the assistant professor in the College of Architecture, Construction, and Planning at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And also with us is Marcos Hernandez. He is a marketing specialist and founding partner of FPO Marketing. And our phone lines are open. If you want to call in and join us, please do. The number is 210-614-8980, like Isabel. And hi, Isabel. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you and your guests. I'm so thrilled to be able to give my personal version of Poodle San Antonio, which we just described as conjuring all sorts of and transcending all aspects of human life, especially in this part of the world. I'm a 12th generation Tejana, Roman Catholic, and my parents sacrificed quite a bit for me and my siblings to attend Catholic private schools, in which, thank goodness, and I was very privileged to receive a Jesuit education as my dad did. My dad received his Jesuit education in Mexico, though. My parents and my other family, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, always stressed these value cores of treating other people with respect and expecting the same. And I guess in a more colloquial type of phrase, it would be almost, I could almost say it's not accepting the gringo culture as much as the universality of the Catholic tradition and beliefs. I want to impress on your guests that they may not be from San Antonio or from Tejas, but certainly there's a universality in our human being, and that I think we all San Antonians are taught that, or at least we absorb that from each other, and that we would want to include our past traditions. You know, the 300th anniversary of the Franciscan missionaries coming here, and the soldiers bringing along not only the architectural, but their agricultural, their economic, their societal, just, you know, how to survive in this wildness,
sure,
this wilderness, and yet to be able to put lay the foundation for a society that's still here with us, and hopefully will continue to.
All right.
This earth is no more.
Fantastic. Isabel, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. She said a lot there, but one thing that really caught my ear is the understanding here locally that that the Spanish culture that we have in San Antonio is not second to the gringo culture. You know, they are both parallel to each other on equal footing, which seems to be something that many other communities across America have not really caught on to. And Marcos, I would be interested to find out what your reaction to that would be, thinking about how San Antonio is a multicultural city. And I think really in a true sense, what other cities may parrot that, but, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe we do it also here to an extent, but maybe there is a level of some authenticity to that.
I lived here all my life. I've made a conscious decision to raise my daughters here as well, and that's part of it. I don't experience any barriers or foresee any barriers here. I see an embracing of cultures and people. Which, I mean, to me, it's a beautiful thing. We have a beautiful city. I mean, anytime you come here, I used to work downtown. of course, as a teenager growing up, and it was like, you have a beautiful city, you have beautiful people, everybody's nice. I mean, that meant something after I started traveling other people and experiencing other cities and the way people are treated. And for me, it was a no-brainer to raise my kids here. And that, to me, is part of the Puro San Antonio. And my oldest daughter has aspirations of going elsewhere to school, what have you. But she told me that when she comes back to Spawn, it's going to be San Antonio, and she's going to keep her family here. And as we talk about what's Puro San Antonio, I think that's it. It's the fact that we call this home. It's the fact that we're Puro San Antonio.
Any place is... You know, people are call someplace home. But I've lived in some real pits and some, and awful places. And people there said, "This is a great city. That's because of the people." And I'm just going, "You guys suck." You know, you're kidding yourself. Yeah. You live in a hole. You know, no one should live here. But are we part of that delusional? Is this delusional, Antonio?
It absolutely is not delusional, because I really think, like, Isabel kind of touched on something that is really, really important to us. Like, we have a 300-year-old history. It's there. We've lived it. We built on it. We've built an environment that kind of, like, reflects our values and reflects our sensibilities and reflects our shared accomplishments. And I think that's what we're about to celebrate in next year. And I think from then on, it's also the question, how do we move into the future based on all of these things that defined what we have?
Okay, got a lot of calls here, so let me get them on the air. Vicky has called in. Vicky, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, David. I love the show. It's really, I think, a great asset to our local radio station.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know, I have lived in a lot of different cities, and I moved to San Antonio from Nashville, Tennessee, about 6 years ago, and because I got a job here. And I right away, you know, we lived in a very poor part of town in El Indio, and we always felt safe. And it's the first city that I've lived in that I really wanted to make the city better, you know. We got involved in dog rescue. And have done that for years, and you know, it's really, the city inspires you, and the people are very friendly, and I'm proud of it, and I'm happy to live here.
Vicky, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And let's go to another caller, because we've got a lot of calls here. Denise, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for allowing me to share my take on what Puro San Antonio means. I think it started as a way to poke fun at ourselves a little bit, at the quinceañeras and the barbacoa and big bread, and it has evolved into a non-apologetic way of telling everybody, you know what, we are who we are, and we like ourselves to deal with it. And to me, Puerto San Antonio is being unapologetic about who we are as a culture of the whole city, and also being welcoming of people from all over.
Absolutely. Denise, thank you so much for that call. And so I first came across Poodle San Antonio when it was actually Poodle Party San Antonio. All right. It was, I think somehow we lost the party part of the phrase, and we've gone down to this Poodle San Antonio. But, you know, is that part of the evolution of the phrase? Was it Poodle Party San Antonio, Marcos?
It was for me, too. I think, like everything else, evolves, and we evolve as a people, and we see expressions of Puro San Antonio, whether it's the river walk that I think could only happen in San Antonio with artists and local artists. It's a slab cinema theaters that happen where people are running around. It's a Pearl beer. It's the Echale Festival. I mean, it's all these mending of people and culture where everybody, I mean, the coolest thing for me for San Antonio, the people are real and authentic, and that speaks volumes to me.
All right. Another caller, Clayton. And Clayton, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been here since 75, and I've been hearing this stuff about San Antonio ever nobody ever seems to be able to come up with one single defining. It really is different depending on what part of town you live in. And there, it is a clash of a bunch of different cultures, so maybe our slogan should be, keep San Antonio whatever. And I'll listen to the comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, Clayton. You know, one Poodle San Antonio experience, I think, is watching the Lanier JV team play sitting on your truck, watching them play ball, from the street, hanging onto the chain link fence. You know, it's a fun experience. The whole neighborhood is out there watching the game, cheering on the guys, and it's just a fun thing to do, you know? And it's not a mass-produced, marketed kind of a thing. It's just, it's authentic. It bubbles up from the people, and it's a real thing. Marcus?
Oh, I mean, the same thing. I mean, we could look at the Chili Bowl, which unfortunately is no longer here, or the Gucci Bowl. Those things are purely San Antonio. And no matter what part of town you're in, you recognize those things. Look at if you look at Fiesta downtown, Oyster Bake, these are things that bring the community together. And these are things that are, I mean, we have songs about San Antonio. We have, people just having fun and playing with the bicultural nature of the city, as well as the German influence. I think it's great.
Okay, we're going to take a one-minute break. We'll be right back to some of these other callers. We'll get Cruz Ortiz, a local artist, involved into the conversation. He's on the line. We've got a couple lines that are open if you want to call in. Talk about what is it about San Antonio that inspires you? What makes you go, that's Poodle San Antonio. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues after this one-minute break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Tonight at 6 p.m. at the Brick at the Blue Star Art Complex, there is a symposium about Poodle San Antonio. What is it? How is it manifested through the lenses of art, music, graffiti, performance, religion, cultural history, film, marketing, fashion, social media, TV, philosophy, food, literature, and how you just walk down the street? It's all about San Antonio. We got a load of panelists who are going to be participating tonight. One of them is on the line. It's Cruz Ortiz. And Cruz, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. And tell me about what is Poodle San Antonio to you?
Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for letting me get in on this crazy conversation. But I think Poodle San Antonio kind of does different things. I think for me, the main thing, I think the root would be just sincerity. And I think when I think about beings, it's that it's almost like a insight into truth. What really happens, right? And I think even more so... It becomes even political in this sense, where today we have a hard time deciphering what is real and what is not real, what is true, what is not true, what is authentic, which is kind of a weird word. It's becoming even more strange, but I'm always curious of just as far as, you know, the work that I do is to looking at those just different aspects. And when you say Poodle San Antonio, well, it's like, well, what's Poodle San Antonio? So it could be like barbacoa, Big Red, blah, blah, blah. It could also mean other things. And then what would be the fake part, I guess, is a hamburger, which is still, it's still the San Antonio experience. It's just not that, you know.
Well, it depends on the burger. Get a Chris Madrid's twist. You know, Chris Madrid's tostada burgers.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it gets kind of blurry for me as far as like defining, you know, those things. But I think that's the beauty of all this, is that it's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be where you can't throw a dart at it. And I think that's where I find more interest as far as, you know, finding out what Poodle San Antonio is. And someone did come over the comment about Poodle Party Time. And I think everyone gets that one. You know, even before that, the roots of that have always been like something that's, oh, well, that's Poodle, you know. Poodle, you know, no much trouble, or, you know, just something. It's to the point, it's a higher degree of whatever you're, you know, taking the grasp on.
All right. I've got a lot of the callers here. I'm going to try and get as many on the air as I can. Mario. Hey, Mario, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, man, what's going on? I've always listened to your show, but this one really hit me because when I think of Poodle San Antonio, I think of when I was little going to the drive-in and figuring out which restaurant to go eat at, and everybody has a different opinion, and what fish is the best, and barbecuing on Sundays, and if you go to church, you get babaco in the morning, you know, and just little things like that that I think of when I think of San Antonio.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Michael has called in. Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, I love The Source. Hey, Puerto San Antonio to me, I guess it means my dad retired from Randolph Air Force Base in 76, but we lived here prior to that in the 60s, and I've got baby movies of me at Brackenridge Park and stumbling around there, and I can totally understand why my folks wanted to move back here and retire. And so we moved back here in the 70s, and to me, it seems to all stem from music and the radio and the food. You know, we just lost Bruce Hathaway from KTSA, and with K-Mac and Kiss, with Joe Anthony and Lou Roney, that introduced, you know, Cheap Trick and Moxie and all these great bands that still play at Sunken Gardens and Las Manas. I think it's just, you know, the Bongo Joes and the Ramayalas and the Taco Land. To me, that's more of my coming-of-age kind of Puerto San Antonio, and Blanco Cafe, and, you know, Chris Madrid's. It all goes back to food and music, and which is, you know, the source of life, really. And San Antonio, it's just that's pretty much what hits the home when I think of San Antonio.
All those things you mentioned are like, I know that, man. Joe Anthony, Scorpions on the, you know, yeah, for sure. All right, man. April Wine, for sure.
Exactly. It's just that old, you know, seeing my first concert was at Municipal Auditorium. It was AC/DC, Moxie, and Rex. And, you know, it was just this sense of going downtown. And when it was, when the Riverwalk was a little more seedy with Bongo Joe banging around back there, and just seeing it grow now, it's still Puerto San Antonio, and it's,
sure,
I can still understand the attraction. It's just a little bit more sanitized now, but it's still where my heart is, and I'm just glad to be back here.
All right, Michael, thank you for that. Susie is called in. Susie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. My take on Puerto San Antonio, and I joke about this, I tell people if there's more than 2 degrees of separation, you're not from here. Starting with you, I knew you when you were 5 years old and lived up the street from me.
Okay.
But if I talk with anyone for more than 15 minutes, I can make a connection. Oh, you know somebody that I know.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Everybody knows everybody else at some level or another. Socioeconomic status has nothing to do with it.
All right, Susie. I guess we're all interconnected. That's part of what Susie brings to the table. And let me ask you about that, Marcos. I mean, why is everyone so nice and friendly? Is because we kind of know each other? There is a village mentality of like, you're going to be remembered for the dumbest thing you did for the rest of your life, so always be careful?
I don't know, man. I just think the city has a love for each other. And we've always been the underdog, at least from my perspective. Things are changing, though. And we keep harking back to the past about how things were, how great things are. But if we look at our kids today, I think they're getting a Puerto San Antonio that's pretty cool in themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think if we look at the way, because of the multicultural part of the city, the technology and everything else, they're getting something that's like Puerto San Antonio that's authentic and real. And, I mean, as far as why we're San Antonians, I don't know, man. That's something that's innate in this city that I love.
Okay, another caller, RP. RP, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to say that every one of your speakers, I back up and I experience everything that they're talking about. I want to add the small details of Puerto San Antonio. For example, curanderos. there's some places you don't see them too often, but they put gallons of colored water in the front yard.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, so buckets of colored water in the front yard.
Yeah, okay. And that's supposed to, different theories of what that is. It's supposed to keep dogs away. But that's the little details of what San Antonio is. And it's such a friendly city that I'll mention a restaurant, Little Fish Factory on WW White. You can go in there and see blacks, whites, Mexican American, all eaten equally proportioned. To me, that's Puro San Antonio. The Martin Luther King leads the nation in friendliness such as that. Tejano music is a Puro San Antonio.
Right.
I don't know if you know an artist. I think his last is Viriel. He painted a lot of children, Mexican American children, playing marbles or spinning a top or flying a kite or little girls with their doll.
I think Jesse Trevino.
Those are the small little details to me of what Puro San Antonio is.
Sure, I think you're right, but I do think. Well, I don't know if you mean Jesse Trevino, but certainly his paintings capture San Antonio and life growing here and his paintings. Another caller, Hudson, is on the line. Hudson, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've been listening to everyone, and it's just magical how the diversity is just so prevalent in everything that is being said. But I see us having one root, and that root is the river itself. This is a river city. It has always been a river place from the very beginnings, before we were even San Anton. It was about the river. And river cities attract just a menagerie of beauty and ugliness, but the bottom line that stays strong is the beauty and the flow of a river. That's
awesome.
All I have to say.
Hudson, thank you so much for calling in with that. Jesus, you're on the air. Go ahead, Jesus, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm very curious about the meeting that they're having tonight. I'm wondering if they have any historians from San Antonio. I belong to various historical associations in San Antonio. And the reason I am is because we don't know when we're going, where we're going, if we don't know where we come from. And I noticed that several of the speakers said that Puro San Antonio really comes from in the last 10 years. And no, it goes back even to our indigenous roots, because the mitotes, we still have mitotes to this day. But San Antonio, the things that transcend hundreds of years are that we are independent people, we are very adaptable people, and we do things collectively. And that's what I think has made us such a Puro San Antonio.
All right, Jesus, thank you for that call. And so let me switch over to Antonio Petrov, the history.
Yes.
Historians in their role here.
Thank you, Jesus, for this very thoughtful comment. I mean, yes, the history will play a big role. I mean, it does play a role in the city. We can't...
It does, even if you don't even know it.
Exactly.
You're living the history.
Yes.
But it's great to know the history, yeah. So you understand why people are living on this part of town versus another part of town. There's a reason for all that, and we need to bring that to the fore.
And we have two historians tonight that will help us understand that.
All right. So again, it's going to be, tell me the details really quick again, Antonio.
It's at 6 o'clock at Brick Gallery in the Blue Star Arts Complex, and it should be fun.
And be a lot of, there'll be food and
there
drink.
Will be food, yes. We have some
be
food.
A lot of fun. You can't have a Puro San Antonio event
exactly
without
food.
The comida,
yes.
You know, and everyone be having a good time. Thank you all so much to our guest, Antonio Petrov, from UTSA, professor of the College of Architecture, Construction, and Planning. Also with us, Marcos Hernandez, marketing specialist and founding partner of FPO Marketing. We had Cruz Ortiz with us, international local artist. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.